You're listening to episode 193 of Women Worldwide. How do you go from dreading sales every single day to unleashing human performance and loving your work? Stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. I always start the show with a big thank you to all of you listeners out there who are helping to share the stories of incredible people that come on this show who are making a difference, creating impact, and you're really helping to amplify and to get the word out there and to expand this network. So thank you so much. Today's show, we're going to get right to it, is about increasing business profits by unleashing human performance. Can you imagine fully tapping into the potential of human performance? And the guest on the show today, I'm very excited to introduce Mary Marshall, who just became president of FPG. And she's going to share all about her journey. Her background includes online learning facilitation, sales, and professional speaking and moderating. She helps to change behavior by teaching FPG's award-winning programs at national conferences, seminars, and through online video platforms. I could talk a lot about Mary, so many accolades, but it's always better when somebody shares their story with you. So Mary, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate being here. And it is always, I think, a bit surreal to hear a bio about yourself when sometimes you still feel like the sales girl at her first job who cried every day. So it's very fun, and it's quite an honor and humbling to be here with you. So thank you so much.
Well, that's so human. You shared that. And I can appreciate that, because you get to a point in your career where you know you've done some things right, but yet you look back and yeah, sure, you were nervous and there were challenges, and we just want to tap into your knowledge base. And I think that's where your story is so much going to help us. And when we spoke earlier, you had mentioned you started your career at a call center and you worked your way up to sales coach and VP of marketing, and now you're president at FPG. So maybe you could just share a little bit about why you chose this particular career path.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, at the beginning, I don't know that it was actually a choice or a choice that I saw. So when I started in college, my parents dropped me off and they said, get a job. It's no allowance. And so as I was walking through the halls, I saw this flyer that said highest paid on campus job. And since I didn't have a car, it was really important for me to have that job, whatever it was. And you know, I learned my very first lesson in college that day, when I called and I got an interview and got the job, working in the call center, calling alumni and friends of the university and parents and asking them for money. And so I learned that if there's a flyer that doesn't tell you what the job is, it's probably a pretty terrible job.
That's a tough first job, asking for money. Seriously.
It was a very tough first job. But it was, you know, it ended up, it's the best worst thing that ever, it's what I thought was the worst thing that ever happened to me, was having to have that job. But I learned so much. And yes, the human side of it is I cried in my first 10 minutes of working there when people told me no. And my supervisor came over and immediately took me off the phone and said, please do not dial anyone else today. And I thought this was the end. And it's interesting. So I went and I allowed myself to be miserable for about a semester, just miserable. I mean, made myself physically ill for the thought that I had to call people and ask them for money, and just thought, this is so horrible. I mean, I grew up in every sitcom on TV talked about the telemarketers that call at dinner time. And I'm looking going, I punch in at 6 and I leave at 9. That is dinner time, no matter where you are in the country. And I felt horrible about it until I decided to go have a conversation with the person who was the top salesperson, because I could not figure out how he was so good and so happy. And he just shared with me how, you know, every day was wonderful for him because he got to talk to people on the phone and hear their stories and take something off their to-do list, which was to give back to the university, and just what a blessing this was, and how his whole goal was to make somebody smile that day and just have a better day because of the conversation, whether or not they gave him money. And that conversation changed the trajectory of my whole life, because from that next semester, not only was I happy, but I was very successful and started breaking sales records and fundraising records. And that was cool for me. But the best part was just that I woke up every morning feeling amazing. And I went to work every day excited for what I got to do. And I let go of whether or not I raised money that day. And it all changed. And so from there, it was just, I just took that mindset into every sales job I had after that. And then going, hey, I love selling so much. Hey, how do I sell more? Well, maybe I should learn some marketing, and started, you know, helping the marketing team and helping them out. And then being here at FPG and selling sales training and marketing to businesses, I thought, well, you know, we're practicing everything that we teach first. I'm the guinea pig. And so maybe I can give feedback on the content side and help them develop. And before long, I was helping run the content team. And now, for one month, I've been president of the company, and it's been an incredible journey of learning, but it's still, I really do place a lot of my growth and success on that conversation at 19 years old, where somebody just changed my perspective on all of it.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. But first, I just want to say congratulations on becoming president.
Thank you.
I mean, it's brand new, 1 month in, and I'm sure you will continue to learn on this journey. That top sales professional, I mean, there was a mentor in a sense right there. That reframing of your mindset, it's amazing the power of the mind. And how what made you cry, feel miserable about what you were doing, and probably a little bit about yourself, all changed with how you repositioned and the aspect of giving. That's a really powerful story.
Thank you. You know, and it's interesting too, because it's easy to look back now, and I see the power in the conversation that I had with him, but it was a choice after that. Because I just had, I don't want to lead anyone to think that in a split second, it all changed. It was every day going, okay, in order to get out of my own head, I'm going to repeat mantras over and over and over until I get to work. And that is that I am a blessing to people, that my gift today is to make somebody smile and to change their day. I'm going to listen to their stories. I'm going to be compassionate, and I'm going to be bold in asking for money. So it all went together. It wasn't just, I think sometimes too, we can get too much on the side of, I'm just going to listen to people. I'm going to listen and let people take our time. I'm going to do both sides of it. But it was repeating it over and over and over again until finally one day it was in me, because it was in my head first. I need to say this out loud. And then at some point it moved to my heart, where I started having moments of feeling it, until one day I woke up and it was who I was. And now I don't, I'm proud and I'm happy that I don't put on a sales hat. I am a salesperson, and I feel the nobility and the honor in getting to be a sales professional.
And it is noble. You can help people. Whatever you're offering will help them in some way, shape, or form, if they can see that and make a choice. Your choices, I believe that there's big choices and aha moments, and these small micro moments where you make choices. And you said you had a lot of mantras and, you know, repeating certain things to yourself. That all led to believing within And for me, in anything that I do, if you don't believe, then you can't create an environment for yourself and nobody else will believe. And you are a testament to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Very cool. So I want to pick your brain a little bit about the sales personality. So, I mean, you did just share the path to being a salesperson, but I'm sure that everybody is different along the road to choosing that as a career. Is there a specific personality? And what defines you maybe as a salesperson?
You know, I don't believe there is a personality. I think there are beliefs that go in alignment with it. But I've worked with very outgoing, energetic, charismatic, great networkers that just are not succeeding at sales. That people, they would say, oh man, that person's probably a natural salesperson, but they're not succeeding. And I've worked with people that are incredible introverts, maybe have very high social anxiety, that are not, that you would think, oh my gosh, I couldn't put them anywhere. I couldn't put them in front of a group of people. And all of a sudden they go in to sell something that they believe in and they are incredible. You know, they are warriors. They are, they close all the deals. And so because of that, it's hard for me to find a personality, but what I can see consistency in is beliefs. And so I actually even test for this, which is anything that holds us back from making sales. So if somebody is really believing in what they're selling, and if they decide, hey, you know what, I'm not going to yield. You know, if somebody says, maybe I need to think about it, I'm not going to leave them alone to do that on their own. I'm the expert here and I'm going to push through. Then now there is a behavior, there's a belief system there. But the personality side of, you know, are they, you know, outgoing? Are they introverted? I think that can actually be very limiting. One, as leaders who are looking for salespeople, it can lead them in the wrong direction in hiring.
That's a great point.
And then even internally, you know, in our own self going, man, you know what? I get nervous, or I have social anxiety. I can't go do a presentation. I can't go sell something. Well, it has nothing to do with that. It's our mindset behind it.
That's really interesting. So, you know, I'm not going to yield. That's what you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. How do you know you're not crossing a line though, with the belief that you have and the passion and getting to, you know, some kind of an agreement with the person? Is there a line that you have to be careful of not crossing? There's got to be certain cues where, yes, you're not going to yield, but at the same time, being respectful of how that other person is feeling. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, you know, I think that is mostly done on the front end of a conversation. I believe that, and really, here's the difference. It's the difference between persuasion and manipulation. Mm-hmm. Persuasion is, I'm going to not yield and I'm going to do everything to convince you to move forward because I know I've done my due diligence and I know that what I'm selling is going to change your life. It's going to improve your life. It's going to be the best thing for you. And manipulation is, I haven't done my work. I don't know that my product is right for you, but I really have a sales goal to make and it's getting towards the end of the month and I'm going to push you without knowing. But I think when we know that what we have is going to improve the life of the person in front of us, the line is legal, moral, ethical. If what you're doing and what you're saying is legal, if it's moral, if it's ethical, then I think you keep pushing because it's in the best interest of the person in front of you. However, if it is not, if you don't know that yet, if you haven't done enough questioning and done enough study and really understand the person, their market, the company, then there is a line. Then you need to ask those questions before you push forward. And of course, if somebody says, no, leave me alone, well, there's the line. That's my line.
Yes, that's definitely a line. So legal, moral, and ethical, I think you could take that into anything that you do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
So much so. What about, I don't know, I'm sure you've had tremendous success here, because you've made it to president of your organization. But what are some really tough challenges maybe that you could share for sales professionals today?
I think, and this is, you know, it's in this same theme, but I really think it's themselves. I think the toughest challenge for salespeople is themselves. And a lot of times, and maybe I'll even take this another step. I think it's it can be the sales managers, it can be other trainers, which might be sacrilegious as a sales trainer myself, but we hear things out there like, hey, you know what, sales team, people don't want to be sold to, so don't sell to them, help them. Well, when we internalize beliefs like that, and we think people don't want to be sold to, now what that does to us as a sales professional is we go, okay, one, there's something intrinsically wrong about what I'm doing, because my job title says sales, my KPI says sales, my commission check is all about sales, but I'm told people don't want to be sold to. And so I think it's, again, that reframing of people love to be sold to. They don't want to be sold by anyone who is unethical, mm-hmm. who's boring or unhelpful. So I think it's mindsets like that, or, you know, we get in our own heads of hearing things. Like I had a sales manager tell me once, Mary, the telephone is a tool to get somebody in front of you because people want to buy from somebody in front of them. They want to buy face to face. And I believed that. And I internalized that. I used the phone for one thing. It was to schedule face-to-face appointments. A lot of the companies that I work with now are large ticket or luxury item. And so something I hear all the time is, well, Mary, you know what? People don't buy at this price point over the phone. Well, those type of mentality, that what that does to sales professionals, it now stops. Now we say, you know what? You can't sell over the phone. And so when I was able to just personally release that, I've now sold over $1 million contracts and $1 million deals over the phone, never meeting somebody face to face, never having that, that face to face interaction. And so it's releasing those because I think that prospects out there and clients on upsells, they want to be sold to, they want to be helped, they want their lives to improve. And the biggest challenge that sales team, whether it's a CEO that's out selling or a frontline salesperson, is themselves. And it's these beliefs that we take as truths with a capital T that just really aren't truths.
Yeah, we have to challenge some of the things that are said to us. And that, Mary, that goes for each and every one of us beyond sales into a lot of things that are going on in our world. You can't just take things because they're stated to you. You have to question and kind of find what's true and real and what you want to do with that information. So you make a really good point. You mentioned as a challenge, the sales managers, the trainers, and kind of what's being said, right, to the person who aspires to be the salesperson. When it comes to coaches, and this is pivoting a little bit, do you think it's different to work with individuals versus teams? How does that translate for you? And what do you like best?
Oh, that's great. That's a really great question. And I'm going to give you a political answer on I like both. So I know, not there, but I will specify. So I think when you are teaching a skill in a sales process, you're doing product training, you're doing, you know, here's how you leave voice message. Here's how you handle this objection. Anything that is skill training is great to do in a group. Put everybody together and teach them the skills. That way everybody has the same framework. But what I've seen, and this is, you know, in sales training, but in, you know, executive coaching, but also, you know, with my daughter, who's an 8-year-old, is the same thing, is that a teacher can stand in front of a group, give a skill set, and some of the kids or some of the students or some of the employees are going to go act on it and they're going to put that skill in action and some of them aren't. And that's where we've got to come down to the individual coaching, because the reason that some people aren't making their sales or they're not following what their leader or coach or trainer has asked them to do is not because they don't know how to do it. It's not because they don't have the skill. It's because they have a belief in there that's challenging it. So for instance, if we tell somebody, here's the sales process, do this 100% of the time, they go out and they're doing it. And all of a sudden they stop. A lot of times now we've got to figure out, we at FPG, we call it a leash. What's the leash that's keeping them from doing it? So for instance, maybe the leash is that the person in front of them they're selling to is older than them. And you know what? They grew up in a family that said, we respect our elders. And you know, right. You don't go tell your grandparents what to do. That would be disrespectful. And so now the sales process they know to do 100% of the time, somebody's older than them and they yield. They don't follow their process in that situation. And so for those, after the skill set to find out why somebody's not doing it and to coach, you know, salespeople that go into a slump, somebody that's new, that maybe has a skill set, but they're not acting on all of it. I believe the best type of coaching for them is individual. It's one-on-one, so that you can change that belief around, because at that point, it's not a skill set. It's not, they don't know how to do it or can't do it. They're not doing it because there's a different belief in there that's telling them it's inappropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. It just seems like, I mean, the group dynamic is fantastic. Like you said, the skills and the process, it sounds like maybe it's a blend. Wouldn't it be great if you could teach teams, but then offer one-on-ones with individuals who feel like they need a little bit of help or a little more reframing or how to get past that yield where they're not going to yield? But it's really interesting the way that you frame that out. And yes, people in training sessions, they're all going to perceive things differently and act upon them differently too. Mary, so we're just going to take a super quick break. I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts before we dive into the second segment. And I'd actually like to take a moment to share a little bit about our sponsor, who is Prep-Dish. Have you ever heard of a company called Prep-Dish?
I have not.
All right. Well, lucky you and all the listeners.
I know, I'm eager now.
Yes. For all of you who don't know, Prep-Dish is a subscription-based meal planning service that saves you time and helps you make your dinners much more appealing and delicious. So for me, Prep-Dish removes this question from the dinner hour. And Mary, you know, you mentioned you have an 8-year-old daughter. I don't know how many times I used to hear at 5 o'clock, what are we having for dinner tonight? And I'd be like, oh gosh, not that question again. And then the other thing I would hear is, oh no, not that again. So in steps Prep-Dish, how does that work? Every week you receive a weekly meal plan with a grocery list, and you know up front all the ingredients so that you can prep for the week. And after you go shopping, you just set aside 2 to 3 hours to prepare everything in advance. And prepping on a Sunday, for example, will set you up for an entire week of meals. And so far, when it comes to meals, my favorites have been the sweet potato frittata and the superfood salad. And you might want to check those out, but there are definitely so many delicious recipes. And if you think about it, your meals just became really easy. Mine did. And, you know, you're saving time and you're much more efficient in the kitchen. And with my crazy schedule, I let Prep-Dish do the planning for me. But you know what? Here's the best part. Prep-Dish has a fantastic offer for women worldwide listeners. You can go to prepdish.com/worldwide and get 2 weeks of Prep-Dish for free. Try it. I know you're going to love it. prepdish.com/worldwide. And I'm excited for our listeners to try Prep-Dish because it's so easy.
Well, you are not going to believe this, but I have been Googling trying to figure out the meals and how I'm going to do them at my house. So that was this last weekend, Googling and was overloaded with how many things there are. And so I love that this could not be better timing for me. This is perfect.
That's perfect. Mary, I love that you just said that. I hope you check it out. Sign up for that free trial. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised of how easy and helpful it's going to make meal planning and make your family happy.
I'm in.
Awesome. All right, Mary, let's dive back into our discussion. We were chatting about your unbelievable transformation, reframing, powerful mindset that got you into your career as a salesperson and now president at FPG. Let's kind of focus. You talked about the training and the skill set. Let's focus on the process of what you're doing. Maybe you could share some tips to get to the outcome.
Absolutely. So the process of sales, is that the...
Yeah. Like what goes through your mind? What are some of those things that you can apply in certain situations? So listeners can sort of step back and say, oh, I'm in a negotiation, or I actually am, you know, I'm responsible for sales at my company. What are some of the steps that could help?
I think the first is, a lot of times you hear about work-life balance. And I am a mother. I understand that in an intellectual way. However, I think our life is our life. And we have to be preparing for our life all the time. And so the first thing every day is just knowing what do you need to pull on that day? And so for me, my morning routine starts way before I get to the office of preparing myself, getting my mind right, and then pulling on the energy that I need that day. Whether it's, hey, you know what? I'm talking to people that are going to have, they're in a really tough situation. And so I really want now to focus compassion and love, because I want to help give them that in this moment. Or, hey, I'm talking to people that they are fired up and they are crushing their goals and they don't know how to get to the next level. Okay, I want to pull on that fiery energy and get there so that I'm always in the right state and can be present and connected and have rapport with the people that I'm in front of. So I think that's step one. I think the other part of the preparation is always spending time training yourself. There's so many times that you get an objection and you go, oh man, I don't know how to handle that right now. So write it down and practice it. Practice it in front of the mirror. Practice it on the phone with your friends. Practice it on your drive-in. Practice what you're going to say so that in those moments, you can stay present with someone and not going, oh my gosh, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to do this for them. And so your mind then drifts. You start thinking about how you're going to come back and what you're going to say. But I think the most important part is to be present with who you're with. And so that practice ahead of time makes it where you get into the battlefield or you go out and you're making your sales and you can be grounded and you can really listen to know, one, is my product right for this person? What am I going to do? How am I going to help them in this situation? And you're able to do that in that place. The other part is on training is have other people listen to you. I know the word role play freaks people out. Nobody wants to role play in the world, but I'm telling you, just have somebody listen to what you're doing, somebody that's better than you, have them analyze you and give you feedback. Because now there are things that we all do that we don't know that we do. We put in filler words or we say something that we think is coming across loving or assertive, but it's actually coming across very passive and unsure. And when we can get that coaching from anyone, I mean, I've had it from people that work for me, people that are my peers. I go out and have coaches. That way you are getting, you're back in your process. And again, I think the most important thing, and maybe I should have started with this, is to have a process.
Yeah.
If you're in this belief of, you know what, every person's different, so I'm just going to let them kind of guide the conversation. Ooh, that's, you know, no. We're the expert. You're the one who knows your product. And so make sure you know your process and you're following it. So we have, and I have stuff that's just online that gives the 7 steps of how do you qualify? How do you know that your product's the right one for this person? And so I have a 7-step process. It's called the 7 steps of starting strong with each person that I'm following my steps. Now, the conversation around each of those steps will be unique to the person that's in front of me. But knowing and having that process allows me to be present, allows me to hear them, allows me to know what's really important to them. So I know, hey, maybe I'm the right fit for you, or maybe I can send you somewhere else that's a better fit.
No, that is such good information. Those steps are so important. And do you think that this process, is it something that, I mean, after a while, do people feel very comfortable with it? I guess in the beginning, does it feel awkward? Were you ever at a point where you felt like this doesn't feel natural, but then it does? And maybe people shouldn't get discouraged. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. How do you work yourself through that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, everything that we do, though, feels unnatural at first, right? And it's interesting. A lot of salespeople, even the ones that say, every person's different, I'm going to treat them differently. Well, they still have a process. It's probably just not super refined because we are creatures of habit. So absolutely, when I was first using our 7 steps, it was not incredibly natural. I had to make it that way. But we have to learn the science before you can put your art on something. And so for us, I mean, even the first step is to ask a triple bind question. So instead of a lot of times we've learned, so here's another thing where I think in the past that we've been misled is ask open-ended questions. Well, a lot of people, there's so many options. Open-ended becomes overwhelming. They say, sure. Just looking, I don't know. They don't know the answers. I mean, even think when you're with your spouse or you're out on a date and somebody says, where do you want to go for dinner? I mean, I know food, I know restaurants, but I can't figure out where I want to go.
That's a huge choice. Do we want Indian, Japanese, Italian? There's just so many different cuisines. Thai.
Exactly. And so that's the way to do it, is to bind them and say, hey, would you prefer to have Chinese food for dinner or Mexican food for dinner or Italian food for dinner? Okay, well, now I can make that decision easily. And so I think the whole thought process in sales, this is also just with coaching with your employees, is how do we get them to make decisions and resolution as fast as possible for them? You know, nobody wants to be in ambiguity. And so when I can say to somebody, hey, you know what? People usually call me because of A, B, or C. Which one of those is the reason you're reaching out today? Well, now they're in a position where they're going to win.
Right.
They don't have to feel silly or small, or maybe I'm going to say something dumb.
It's not overwhelming.
Exactly. And so, yes, the first time I used it, it felt uncomfortable, but very quickly I could make it my own. I could use merry words. I didn't have to be stiff and scripted, and it becomes second nature.
Okay, so I don't want to compare this too much to parenting, but it just reminded me, you know, when your children are little, you would never just ask them those open-ended questions. It was always, we've got to frame it out with three choices, right?
Exactly. Otherwise, you don't want to go to Chuck E. Cheese every night. You can't leave open-ended questions with children. Absolutely.
No way. So is there a chance that this is carrying over from parenthood?
Absolutely, in every way. But you know, that's what I think is so amazing about sales, about leadership, is that it's all the same. Again, it's not personal life, professional life, it's life.
Right.
In the same ways that we will lovingly guide our children, we need to lovingly guide our employees and lovingly guide our prospects. And it's not a talk down to, it's a lovingly guiding them, because in this situation, I am the expert. When you're the salesperson, you are the expert. And so if you're not the expert, don't do the guiding. But if you are the expert, do the guiding.
Absolutely. And you have to believe that you're the expert to do that guiding. There's some powerful, powerful lessons here. I would just like to know, and this is on a personal note, what does success look like for you? Maybe in the short term and maybe down the road.
Perfect. Well, on a personal level, success for me on a daily basis is how, I'm going to use the word downstream. How downstream was I? Meaning, was I rigid in what was happening, or was I allowing and responding in the most loving, effective way in all situations? So just personally, at the end of the day, when I look back, I go, you know, whether great things happened or, you know, fires had to be put out, what was my response? And what was my response with other people? And what was my response to myself? And was I downstream about it and just going with the flow and allowing and being the best guide for others and for myself that I can be?
I like that.
So that's one.
That's really good.
On the professional side, I mean, being I'm going to call myself baby president right now at 1 month in, my biggest goal is how many leaders can I create within this company? I think that all people have leadership within them. I think all people can be anything that they want. And so am I creating a space and an environment and a culture that allows people to think bigger about themselves, think bigger for their clients, think bigger for their employees? And am I creating leaders? And my real metric of my personal success is, can I create a leader that's better than me?
This is music. My ears. Holy cow. Well, can we clone you like thousands and thousands of times? I want all leaders to think this way. Just that resonates so much. A leader that's, you know, better than you. Yeah. It's so far beyond us, Mary. It should be. That's great.
Well, good. I mean, it's so fun. And I think for me too, that goes back to my personal goal of being downstream and being open. And if I can, I mean, I look at the leadership team on my team, I look at the employees here, and there are so many skill sets that I don't have that are there. And if I can help unleash them, use the word unleash, if I can help unleash them to be all of that and to be better, I mean, I will happily move aside and let this team, you know, take us to the next level and share that message with the clients and with prospects and with their families and everybody that they can. That's, I think everybody needs the unleashed message.
They sure do. Well, that's a wonderful message. And it's not just words. It plays out in actions, and it must be really gratifying to see people grow in their roles. That's the best part. So let's pivot a little bit to, I'm sure you have a hectic life going on. Right? You talked a little bit about that balance and being present. Is there anything that helps you to be more efficient or, you know, really on your game in a way? Favorite tools, resources? You talked about constantly learning. Where do you go for learning?
Oh, that's great. So several places. So one, every day I'm on Audible listening as fast as I can to as many books,
excellent,
as many experts as I can. So I live on Audible, which is huge for me. I also do a lot of my learning on a learning management system, an LMS called Growth Cafe. And what I love LMSs, period. But what I love about this one is that it is, one, there's just, you know, we've got uploaded great content. However, anybody that's on it can create their own content. They can add to the content. So that's what's different about this one. So somebody watches something and they go, hey, I use this, but I use it a different way. They can, on their phone, create a learning video and put it up for everybody who's within the community.
That's so cool.
So it's constant learning that way. And then just in keep myself together, I'm, you know, on Wunderlist constantly with my own schedules to keep everything straight. So those would be the three places that I live on my phone and my computer.
Yeah. And keeps you learning and growing and efficient. I've heard of Wunderlist. I use Evernote. I don't, you know, it's a lot of lists and capturing things and dropping them in so that you always remember, because sometimes, you know, how you see something that's really great and you don't know how you're going to use it now, you want to use it later. So is Wunderlist similar to that?
It's different. So I use Evernote a ton as well. I actually have Evernote up on my computer right now where I you know, put all of my ideas and different trainings
and lists. Yeah.
My Wunderlist is basically a to-do checkoff list. So I can share it with each person on my team. They're putting things in there for me. I'm putting things in for them. And as soon as they're checked off, it goes down that it was completed at the time. I can put schedules on it on when it needs to be completed. And so when I'm traveling, because I'm in the office right now, I've got quite a few weeks that I'm here, but a lot of times I'm traveling. And so it's a way to quickly be in touch with my team and know what's going on, and they can give me things quickly. And we know when they're completed from each other.
No, that's great. And, you know, these collaborative platforms, of course, it reminds me of social media. So there has to be a social media question I'm going to throw at you. You know, how focused are you on social media, and are you more of a, I'm going to hang out in my communities and chat with my friends in my network, or I really want to get to know people IRL in real life, in person?
Yep. You know, it's both. I am one. I think I love social media because I moved a lot growing up and lived in different parts of the country, moved about every year. And so it's a way for me, one, personally, to stay connected that way. So I think I was more involved and excited when I started social media. But today it's just both, because it's this great way to stay connected with people and to meet people and have relationships with people that are in other places, learn what they're doing, and connect with them there. I will say, just as it, personally, I prefer, I know I'm saying all this stuff about, you know, telephones and social media. I do prefer meeting with people in person. I enjoy that. But we cannot be successful, I don't believe, personally or professionally today, without having a social media presence and connecting with people that way. So to me, it's a very even balance. If I had to choose, I would say in person. However, that's just not geographically possible with
exactly
most of the people that I'm connecting with and learning from. And so it has to be done on some social media platform.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would always choose in person, but, you know, social media can, I guess you can find out so much about people and who they are and what they care about and what's going on in their worlds, things that you can sort of enhance the relationship even before you get to meet. So for me, social media is a great way to start a relationship. And whether you're in one platform or you take your friendships into different platforms and you're sharing, collaborating. But by the time you actually, I notice this myself, by the time you actually meet somebody that you've known for maybe a year or 2 years on social media, you feel like you're old friends and you already want to do business together or hang out, and you feel like there's deep history. So I love social media for that.
I agree. I agree completely.
So Mary, maybe you could share the biggest lesson that you've learned. And I know you've shared a lot. Maybe something, it could have been out of a situation that wasn't so pleasant, but you learned a lot, or it was a lesson from a really positive situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to do a little mix there of both the positive and the negative, because cool. I think, one, we all have negative experiences. I think we all at some point have felt some bit of stereotype, or somebody has put us into a box that we didn't agree with or want to be in. So for me, I remember being, I was recently out of college, and I was at an event, I was at a party, and the president of a company that I wanted to work for was at this party. And so I went up to him and shook his hand and introduced myself and said, you know, I just want you to know that I've been working in a call center, and I'm very interested in a sales position. And so I'm wondering if I could apply to work for your company in sales. And he looked at me, and he had been drinking, you know, because it was a party, so it wasn't like an inappropriate drinking. He had been drinking, and he kind of smiled and laughed, and he said, "Oh, sweetheart, we don't hire little girls to be sales professionals here."
Oh.
And I just, you know, kind of said, "Yes, sir," and I walked away. And for a long time, that fueled me, and it fueled me to prove him wrong.
Good for you.
But that's not the end of the lesson, because later on in life, I started noticing and paying more attention to all of these people that really saw more in me before I saw it, and they believed in me. And I realized that I had to let go of that situation with that man, because that energy, though it did bring me some success to try to prove him wrong, though it did fuel me and it had some positive effects, that was going to burn out. And that wasn't an ever-flowing source. But what was constantly saying, you know what, I'm going to choose to listen to the people who are saying I can do things, that are saying they see more in me than I see or believe in myself at this moment. And that shift, that's when the real explosion of what I was able to accomplish, who I was able to influence, what I was able to do, was that shift. So I'm happy I had that situation. I'm happy for the fuel that it gave me, but I'm also happy that at some point years later that I let it go and refocused, because that fuel of listening to the believers in you, the people that see your heart and your spirit and your mind and say, gosh, Mary, you can do this, and I believe in you. That's the fuel source. That's the energy source that's never going to give out on you, and that you're going to have energy at the end of the day to go home and be a great mom.
Right. The first situation with that president was like a negative energy. It still fueled you, but it was the positive energy and the belief and that refocus that really set you on a course. Mary, I'm going to ask you to give one last maybe piece of advice for all those professionals out there trying to excel in their process, whatever that might be, whether it's a selling process or it's a communication process or it's a grow your business process. What would you say to them?
I would say to find the person that is the most successful in the area that you want to be successful in, and do exactly what that person did. Follow their words, listen to them. And that's, if you know them personally, that's if you don't, that's if you want to find them on social media and follow what they're following. If they've written a book that you want to submit yourself to, but the path is already there. The path for the success in any area we want to be successful in is already there. Just find that person that inspires you, that makes you want to grow, and yield and submit yourself to their way. And give it a try, because that's, you can follow their path. It's right there. It's so easy. It's right in front of you.
Excellent advice. Okay, last question. This is so easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Oh, perfect. It's at FPG.com. So that stands for Forest Performance Group. So FPG.com. I have lots of videos there and lots of just free content and training. Or if they want to reach out to me directly, then they can do that from that site too, on all social media, on email, phone, you can call me. So that's the place, FPG.com.
Excellent. Mary, thank you so much for coming on Women Worldwide. We appreciate your time. We just appreciate you. And I'm speaking now for myself and all listeners out there. We learned a ton. You shared great information and insights. So thank you.
Thank you. This has been a blessing in my day. So I am very, very grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you. And I also want to thank PrepDish for sponsoring this episode of Women Worldwide. And for all of you listeners who are tuning in and helping to power up the voices, the passion of the people who come on the show and who are clearly making a difference in this world. And to all of you out there, please let us know how you're feeling about Women Worldwide. Go rate us on iTunes. Give us a shout out on Twitter or Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.